It's Christian Church, Monday Manna Bible Study. Come in, come in. We are here waiting for you.
Let it snow, let it snow.
Don't let it snow. Don't let it snow. Don't let it snow. Don't let it snow.
We're excited about this night, and we praise God for each of you as you're joining. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal, and let us know that you can hear us well. We praise God for the snow. We praise Him for the sunshine and the rain. We praise Him for His keeping power, because we know that it all comes from God. And we need the snow, Lady Kim, just like we need the rain. Don't you agree?
I've seen enough snow to last a lifetime.
Yeah. We need it all to make the world what it is. And so even though it's a little difficult for some people to manage this time of the year, and particularly in the snow, just don't try to go anywhere unless you just have to absolutely go.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And don't get out there if you have no experience knowing how to drive. Speaking of driving, by the way, we were not in fault, but I tell you, it's dangerous out there.
Yes, it is.
And so you have to be mindful of that, particularly in this inclement weather and when it's raining and the like. You have to be mindful of that. We have some inexperienced drivers here in Memphis, and not just Memphis, but all across the country. And so we just have to be careful and be on our P's and Q's. Isn't that right?
That's right. Not only inexperienced drivers, we have some very foolish drivers.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And we'll say a little bit about that experience on Saturday night here in a minute. But we want to go ahead and get started. And we hope everyone is safe and sound, and that you're getting a clear signal tonight. As you can see with your own eyes, that's right, right to my right, she's here, and I praise God. That's right. And so we're grateful. But let's have prayer as we prepare for tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for the prayers of the righteous, for they indeed avail it much. We thank you for your word tonight, for your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so now, God, we pray that you will just open our ears so that we can hear, and open our eyes that we might be able to see what it is you would have for us, even through this time together tonight.
Yes.
We're certainly grateful for how you yet sustain us, even in spite of ourselves. And now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Somebody
amen.
Give God a thumbs up and just let us know that you're getting the signal and that you hear us well and that you're agreeing with that prayer. And it is so in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And we thank God for each of you tonight. Well, we're going to be in the second book, well, not the second book, but the second chapter of the book of Leviticus. And we covered much of the introductory information on last week, but we'll do a little recap tonight just to bring you up to speed. And then I think there are only 16 verses here, and so we should be able to cover that tonight, don't you think, Lady Kim?
Yes.
But Lady Kim, we're so excited to have you in the number tonight, and then we missed you yesterday in the worship experience. The people were kind of sad because, you know, they were missing something in the service. And I, after I thought about it, I realized that the reason they were kind of like, you know, real at a low was because you were not there.
Come on now.
But we know that you tell us a little bit about the experience that happened Saturday. And I shared my version with the people on yesterday in terms of what happened to us as we're making our way to the Grizzlies game.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, everyone, for your prayers of healing and your prayers of concern. As you can see, I'm doing well. Pastor is doing well. I'm telling you, we are just blessed beyond measure.
That's right.
As he told you on Saturday night, we were headed down to the Grizzlies game. And I'll say we were doing the speed limit. About 65 miles an hour.
That's right. That's right.
We were talking in the car. I was looking down at my phone trying to download my ticket onto my phone when all of a sudden, boom, right into the back of us. Now, can you imagine if we're doing 65 miles an hour and someone slams into the back of you, how fast they must have been going? And Tom said, oh, my goodness. I said, we've been hit. And it took him a minute to pull over to the side of the road. But once we got over to the shoulder of the road, a man in a Ford pickup truck pulled up in front of us. And I said, that's probably who hit us. But that wasn't the man that hit us. The man got out of his truck and he came back to our vehicle. He said, are you guys okay? Well, when he said that, my head was pounding like somebody was in my head with a hammer, beating on the inside of my head with a hammer. My neck and my shoulder was hurting. And my husband, Pastor, said, you just stay in the truck. Let me go, you know, see what's going on. So as we found out, there was a man in a Corvette weaving in and out of traffic. And I guess he weaved in front of the truck, the man in the truck who pulled over, and he swerved out of his way to get away from him. And as a result, the Corvette slammed into the back of us. And I tell you, that Corvette spun around and was headed back in the other direction on the embankment on the side of the road. So I heard, I didn't see it, I didn't get out, but so they've told me, and they had to help the man to get out of his vehicle. But we thank God that lives were spared. Nobody was seriously injured. We all walked away. So I did go to the hospital and get checked out, only because the paramedic said my blood pressure was 200 over 115 or something like that, which was extremely high. So I went to the hospital and they monitored my blood pressure until it came down significantly. But as you can see, I'm doing well. I still had a slight headache on yesterday, but on today, you know, I took Tylenol. And I want to thank God for you, my dear husband, for taking good care of me. He rubbed me down my neck and my shoulder with he rubbed my neck and shoulder with some kind of ointment. And
it's a special ointment. You can't get that.
It was an anointing ointment, because I tell you, my neck and my shoulder are just a little tight, you know, just enough to let me know that something did happen, but I'm not in any terrible pain. So to God be the glory for sparing our lives. And we were just talking that if we had been in the vehicle that I drive, it would have been a different story.
That's right. That's
but because right. That Hummer sits so high up and that Corvette was so low, the Corvette actually went underneath his bumper.
That's right.
When he hit the vehicle, it went underneath the bumper. So there's damage underneath the vehicle, underneath the bumper. But the man's Corvette is total.
Right.
I hear that his whole front is peeled back. So we just thank God that he spared our lives on Saturday night.
That's right. And we're extremely grateful, because it could have been worse. And, you know, we can't even imagine. I mean, when we look back in hindsight at what could have happened,
yes, Lord,
it could have been a much different outcome. But we praise God for his keeping power. Somebody give God a thumbs up,
yes,
for his
Lord
keeping power. And as I was telling the congregation yesterday, Lady Kim, you know, we just come out of revival. We're in the middle of our fast. We're in the early stages of our fast. And the enemy is angry. He's upset. Mm-hmm. He's trying to do everything he can to throw us off track and to hinder us from the things that we're trying to accomplish.
Amen.
We're talking about doing more in 2024, and how this is the year of an abundant harvest, and how God has set great things in front of us. Mm-hmm. And what's in front of us is better and greater than what's behind us. And so the enemy knows that he can do some things to try to distract us and throw us off track. And if he can get to the first family, if he can get a stranglehold around our necks and prevent us from getting the word out, prevent us from telling the story about the love of God, then he knows that it will cause some kind of friction in the body of Christ, yes, called atop. Mm-hmm. But I praise God tonight that God kept us through that and that he continues to sustain us, dangers seen and unseen.
Seen and unseen.
And how he,
yes,
continues to look beyond our faults and get right to our needs. And so thank you, Atop Church, for your continued prayers and your support. And I tell you, y'all were looking a little sad yesterday because you didn't see Lady Kim. And so we were looking a little sad ourselves, but we praise God that she's all right and that we came out victorious. Somebody say amen and give God a thumbs up. Somebody help us tonight because we're excited. I tell you, we know that if it had not been for the Lord on our sides, somebody tell me where would we be.
Amen. That's right. And God is a keeper.
That's right.
He's a keeper.
And so all of this snow has come in now. I was outside with my dog just a little while ago, and this is first snow. And he seems to enjoy the snow. So he might be a northern dog, I guess, you know. But most dogs like that kind of enjoy the snow.
Yeah, most dogs like the snow.
But we thank God for sustaining us, and I hope that each of you are doing well, because just as the enemy will try to attack us, make sure that you understand that it's not exempt from you being attacked. And so you have to be on your P's and Q's. And I think the sermon that we preached yesterday kind of led right into us understanding some of the techniques and some of the, some of the schemes of the devil.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Lady Kim, I know you were on watching virtually yesterday, and we had a great service. The Spirit was
wonderful
high
service
in the place. And I tell you, it was amazing how people came with a mind to worship, and God's spirit rested in the place.
Amen.
On yesterday, almost everything that was said, every song that was sang, it was evident that we were going higher in the Lord.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about what you were able to hear from the service as you were watching virtually yesterday.
I was asleep.
Were you?
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm just teasing.
We called your name about 15 times, but
I'm just teasing.
All right.
I'm just
okay.
Joking. You were created for more was the sermon title on yesterday. And you came from John 10:10, which is a familiar passage
of
scripture.
That's right.
You know, we can almost recite that by heart, where it says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But I am come that I might, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." And so you had several points, 3 points that we need to protect our purpose, we need to protect our possessions, and we need to protect our praise.
Okay.
And I tell you, that was some kind of sermon on yesterday. And some of the things I got is that, you know, God will fulfill his destiny in our lives.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and it's incumbent upon us to find our purpose in life.
Okay.
God, we were birthed into this earth for a reason.
That's right.
We have a purpose. There is a purpose for our life, and we have to find it. And if we protect what we have, God will give us more.
Amen.
So we need to protect our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be obedient in the house. We need to sit and let God speak to us.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll know exactly which way we need to go and what we need to do. Without purpose, we will be drifting from place to place. And without purpose, we don't know. We have to know how to allocate our time.
That's right.
I believe
right.
I heard you say.
Indeed.
And
indeed.
Also not make choices based upon our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we react to what's going on in our lives instead of sitting still and quiet and flowing in what God would have us to
That's
do.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, without God in our life, we don't have a purpose, really. So we'll never know our purpose without God being
That's
in
good.
Our lives.
That's good, yeah.
You know, so without goals, we have no direction. Without purpose, we have no goals.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that backwards. You said it some kind of way. You said without God, life has no purpose. Without purpose, we have no goals. Without goals, we have no direction.
Right.
That's
right,
the way
right.
I think it was put.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. If not, that'll work right there, because that's powerful. And many times people are trying to figure out why they're going around in circles and not advancing in the things of God, most of it has to do with our purpose and being clear in terms of what God would have for us, mm-hmm. and using our gifts in such a way that it brings glory and honor to His name. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately said that our purpose is to make God smile.
I heard that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When we lay down at night, we ought to have the blessed assurance that God is pleased with our efforts. And mm-hmm. many times we don't complete the assignment. We all have sinned and fallen short. But we have to be intentional about how we treat ourselves and how we treat others.
Amen. That's
and
right.
I believe if we practice what we preach and we let our behavior match our belief, I believe that brings a smile to God's face.
Amen. Yes. Amen. And we need to always keep our spiritual antennas up.
That's right.
You tell us that every week the Tuesday morning prayer line, that we need to keep our antennas up. And because the enemy wants to steal our purpose.
That's right.
He wants to confuse us so that we don't know what our purpose is.
Absolutely.
But when you know what your purpose is and you go forward with the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you'll walk in your purpose. You'll flow in your purpose. And God will provide for you.
That's right.
In your purpose. So the other thing you said is that we have to protect our possessions.
Yes.
And one of the things I thought about when you didn't go here, were you doing a part two next week?
No, I hadn't planned on it. But
okay.
If you got about four pages, I think I can run with it from there.
You talked about physical possessions.
Right.
But when you said you have to protect your possessions, the first thing I talked about, thought about was protecting my spiritual possessions.
Okay.
You know, because you talked about the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And the enemy comes to steal our joy.
That's right. That's
that
right.
We possess. He comes to steal the peace that we possess.
That's right.
So not only is he coming for our physical possessions, you know, he wants to make you bankrupt. He wants to mm-hmm. make you lose your house. He wants to make everything fall apart. But you know what? We can always regain physical things.
That's right.
But he can't do nothing about our spiritual possessions.
We have this treasure, don't we?
Yes, and earthen vessels.
My God.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So we need to protect our possessions, our homes. We need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And thanksgiving is our response for what God has already done.
Okay. Lady Kim, you were sitting up doing pretty good, not being in the house.
I was in church.
Yeah.
Y'all was playing. I was in church.
No, you on it. You on top of that, I tell you. And, you know, the Spirit of God was moving in the house yesterday, and it's just amazing. And I think it's an overflow of the revival, and it's also an extension of the fast that we're in.
Yes.
This is, what, day 8 or 7?
I'm not keeping up.
Yeah, and so we just know we got to go to the end of the month.
I just want to get to, you know, the 31st is coming.
And so even when the 31st does get here, it probably we would have set a pace and a pattern that many times will help us to continue to flow in that, you know, because I was thinking about some pancakes the other day, and I said, oh, Lord, don't do it. And so Brother Eddie and I, we have an appointment where we're going to go get pancakes after we finish the fast. But
all right.
God wants us to maintain a level of spirituality that takes us higher
mm-hmm.
and not bring us down to the place where we are not effective in our witness.
Amen.
And so I think the fast really sets the mark for us, and it gives us the kind of discipline that's necessary in order for us to continue to seek God even the more as we go through. And so we praise God for this 24-day fast. And what day is it, did someone say? I think it's day 8, but we're yet going forward and moving through. And the revival, as I was saying, I believe kind of set the tone for what happened on yesterday.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that last point was about our praise. We have to definitely protect our praise.
Absolutely.
And did you have any points on that, any thoughts on that as we get ready to move into these few verses that we're
Well, one thing you talked about of a possession, though, was our now good name.
A name,
and
that's
I thought that
that's
was
right.
good,
that's
you
right.
know, because our name means a lot.
That's right.
If someone can destroy your credibility,
right, that's what I said.
Then they can pretty much, you know, because people will believe a lie before they'll believe
that's
the
right,
truth.
That's right.
So if they can destroy your credibility, then they destroy your good name. So mm-hmm. protect your name, protect your integrity, protect
right.
your credibility
right.
as you go forth. And most of all, protect your praise.
That's it.
Again, the enemy can't do anything about your spiritual possessions. The enemy can't hinder your praise.
That's right.
So even when you're feeling down and out, you need to praise God for where he's getting ready to take you to,
mm-hmm.
for what he's getting ready to do in your life. So protect your praise. Don't when we get in situations where we feel down and depressed and lonely, you know, we tend to internalize that. But I dare you to start praising God about what he's going to do in your life. And when you start praising God about what he's going to do in your life,
that's right.
speak those things that be not as though they already are.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. They say in the hallway until the door opens for you.
My.
Amen.
Watch out.
See, won't you feel better as a result?
That's right. So we thank God for that word on yesterday, and the Lord added to the church
some three
new members, and I tell you,
awesome.
It was an awesome time, and it carried over even until the nursing home, Lady Kim, and it was an exciting time there. Even as the snow was coming down when we were in the Quince nursing home, the residents seemed to have a spirit of excitement about them, and they were anxious to hear what God was saying. The praise team was there, and they rendered some very powerful songs, and people started coming down the hallways looking in to see what was going on.
Amen.
And so we praise God for that experience. One of the residents was sitting there in a chair, and as I was sharing with us some of the same talk that I shared with the congregation from We Were Created for More, tears just started coming down our eyes. And so I asked two of the intercessors to go over and start praying with her and just believing God for what she was going through and letting her know that she was created for more. And the atmosphere was rich. All of those who were present, we had a great number to participate.
That's good.
And Dr. Qualise did an excellent job in terms. I think she was directing the choir. I couldn't hardly tell what was going on, but it looked like we got a new director for the choir. I think that was what she was doing yesterday. But no, seriously, it was a great time in the Lord, and I praise God for all of those who were able to participate and be a part of that service at Quince. That was the first service this year for them from us. And so even though it was the second Sunday, you know, we hadn't seen them
since last year. Right.
And so we had a great time, and Elder Paxton and the praise team did an excellent job.
Amen. Wonderful. That was wonderful.
All right. Well, let's jump into this word tonight. We're in Leviticus, the second chapter, and there are only 16 verses here. But we started out on last week with a brief introduction. You want to just kind of enlighten us on some of the things that we kind of opened up with last week to kind of get us on track in terms of this second chapter.
Yeah, and it was pretty straightforward because Leviticus picks up where Exodus leaves off, where the children of Israel are on their way through the wilderness to Canaan. Remember, you know, when Moses, went and the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea on the dry land. Now they're in the wilderness and they're going to their promised land Canaan. And so the Exodus means just that. They're exiting from where they were, going to their new land.
Okay.
And the tabernacle has been erected there. And so now it's time to bring offerings. And last week in chapter 1, we talked about the meat offerings, mm-hmm. and talked about the first
burnt offering last week.
Yes,
right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Talked about the first fruits
right.
of the crop of the annual harvest. So mm-hmm. the first fruit is the first, the very first mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of the crop of the annual harvest.
Okay.
So, or the firstborn if it's a
That's right.
meat offering.
Okay.
A burnt offering. So all of these are burnt offerings that we're talking about. And so today, in verses 1 through 7, we're in the going to be in the second chapter of Leviticus. Verses 1 through 7 is going to talk about the various types of grain offerings.
Okay.
And how they were to be offered depending on how they were cooked.
Mm.
So that's 1 through 7. And then, I'll stop right there. We'll probably go 1 through 7, read 1 through 7, and then talk about those, unless you have something.
Well, part of it, and you're absolutely right, I think orders being established mm-hmm. as well as protocol and the priests are lining up now and taking their rightful role in terms of how they respond to the offerings that are being received. And it tells us that God has set things in order, and a lot of the things that we see happening here transfers over even into the church today
mm-hmm.
because God still expects us to bring our first fruit. He still expects us to bring our best. And I think on last week we mentioned that many times we give God what's left mm-hmm. rather than giving him what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of we seeing how God has established and set the house in order with the proper protocol, that lets us know that that brings pleasure to him. And so it is with us when we are obedient to the things of God. Obedience brings the reward. Mm-hmm. And many times we try to give God what's left. But if we trust God with that which he's blessed us with, then we won't have a problem when God begins to bless us. And I made reference to that yesterday as it relates to sometimes people wait until they get a lump sum or a lot of money and say what they're going to do. But God has said, no, start where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, take small steps mm-hmm. and allow your faith to get to a place so that when I do bless you, you won't be confused about what it is you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Leviticus, God gives specific instructions.
That's right. That's right.
On how he wants these offerings to be rendered to him.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, too, we talked about there were two types of offerings. You know, the grain offering was a thank you offering.
Okay.
There were two types of offering to say thank you. And then there were three types that say I'm sorry. The burnt offering, mm-hmm. you know, with the mm-hmm. purification and the restitution and the burnt offering.
Okay.
So
okay.
those five different types of offerings, the two types to say thank you, the grain and the fellowship, mm-hmm. and the three that say I'm sorry. The burnt offering, the purification, and the reinstitution.
So we're going to experience all of these offerings in terms of how they were established as we move through these first seven chapters. Is
yes,
that what you say?
That's correct.
And mm-hmm. so I think it's going to be meaningful to us, and it's going to give us application as we experience how God set things in motion even then.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there are only, 16 verses here mm-hmm. tonight?
Yes.
So you want to read the first seven? Is that
sure.
where you think a good break would be?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, Leviticus, the second chapter. When anyone presents a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour olive oil over it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. Out of it he shall take a handful of the fine flour and oil with all its frankincense, and the priest shall offer this up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering as the memorial portion of it. It is an offering by fire, a sweet and soothing aroma to the Lord. What is left of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offering to the Lord by fire. When you bring an offering of grain baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. If your offering is grain baked on a griddle, it shall be a fine unleavened flour mixed with oil. You are to break it into pieces, and you shall pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. Now, if your offering is grain cooked in a lidded pan, it shall be made a fine flour with oil. That's through 7.
Okay. So, this really is just kind of setting things in motion in terms of the order and giving specific instructions in terms of how they should present their gift. Is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we find out that when you talk about the grain offering, it can be, of course, transferred over to what you might consider a gift or a present or sometimes even a tribute. But it's a sacrifice that, that the people were making, and it knows even an animal or a grain offering. And so it's important that God wanted the very best. That's what he's establishing here. And for it to be presented in such a way that it would not represent, you know, the least and the last of whatever it was, whether it was an animal or whether it was the grain or whether it was the meat, whatever it was, he wanted to make sure that it was the very best. We need to give God the best of our service.
Amen. And the grain offering, of course, we talked about in the first chapter, the meat offering and how they had to, what they had to do with the blood and everything. But the grain offering without blood or flesh is a sacrifice because it involves the transfer of something to the sacred domain of God for his use. This explains how Paul could urge Christians to present your bodies a living sacrifice in Romans 12 and 1.
Okay. And that's important for us. And we see the relevance here as Paul just made that even more clearer in Romans, where he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or the least that you can do.
Absolutely.
And he goes on to say, to be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we have to be mindful of that even as we start looking at the world and start getting our directions from what we see happening in the world. I think one of the revivalists here with us, something of, as it relates to how the church has lost its focus and how we're focusing more on trying to be like the world than trying to be the church in the world.
Amen.
And so we are in the world, but not of the world. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep that separation and be mindful that God has not called us to mix, but he called us to come out. He's called us to come out of the world and be an example for the world.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And there's a fine line between being culturally relevant and secular.
Okay.
We have to be careful that we remain culturally relevant, but don't step over into that secular realm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So the message is the same, but as we said last week, it's the methods that really we have to make sure that we don't lose sight of the message that we're trying to present when we're trying to reach those who are in the world.
That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
And so in the verses 1 through 7, of course, we talked about the various types of grain offering. And so in verses 8 through 13, it gives the instructions for sacrificing the grain offerings at the tabernacle.
Okay. So the instruction for the sacrifice.
Yes. So,
and we see the tribe, the Levites are being set in motion. The priests.
The priests.
Are being set in motion. They come out of the tribe of Levi.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And you always tell us that all of the, go ahead. all of the people out of the tribe of Levi were not priests.
Right. All Levites are not priests, mm-hmm. but all priests are Levites.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
They come out, all the priests came out of the Levitical tribe.
Okay.
All right. Amen.
Okay.
All right. So well, you want me to read the 8 ahead. Through 13?
Looked like my watch stopped, but that wasn't but about 2 minutes. Did,
your watch is correct.
Okay, all right.
We're flying through this.
Yeah, This we should have took on both of these, but we're good.
Okay. My vision is a little blurred here. Okay.
Now, that didn't have anything to do with Saturday. I want to be clear because I'm trying to get this claim straight.
You need no. It didn't. It didn't.
I don't
have
need
anything.
To call none of the people that's on TV or none of that.
No, sir.
All right. Because some people, they'll make up some stuff. You know that, won't you?
Well, you know what? God has been...
I'm not saying that's you, but I'm talking about when they see all these people on TV talking about call us and all of that.
The injury claim people. Yeah. No, I'm just thankful to God. You know, I'm not going to make up nothing.
No, that wasn't what I was meaning by that. Mm-hmm. I was talking about how people out there, they would do that. And, you know, their lives would be miserable, you know, because... When you try to fabricate something to make up something, you got to try to remember what you made up, and then you end up losing sight of it.
Right.
You have to tell another lie to cover up for the other lie that you started out.
Yeah.
Isn't that
That's
right?
That's true. But, you know, my blessing or our blessing lies in that we walked away.
That's
you
right.
You know, our blessing lies in that you thought about taking the vehicle that I drive. And
That's
at
right.
the last minute... changed your mind and got into the truck, into that big Hummer.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
the bumper sits up really high. And so when that Corvette hit, he went underneath
right.
your truck.
And if it had been in
if
the
it
car,
had been it, it would have been a, yes, it would have been a direct
a
impact.
Splatter.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it had been in the vehicle that I drive. So I just thank God. I just thank God for the small blessings. I don't have to make up nothing.
Mm-hmm.
God has been extremely good. I don't want to make up no aches and pains or
That's
nothing
right.
like that.
That's
I want
right.
to walk on for years to come. Amen.
I think, who is that? That was Georgia. What did she say?
I'm sure you have already received many from lawyers. Actually, no.
No, we didn't.
No.
And so I filed a claim today and... they were asking me all the pertinent information,
mm-hmm.
and I checked with First Lady this morning before I filed it to make sure there were no injuries involved. So that would have took us down a whole nother rabbit hole had that been the case, but no. And so when the inspector gets in touch with me tomorrow, if he just totals the Hummer, then that's going to pave the way for me getting that that electric Hummer
that I got mine.
So
help today, Jesus.
But I believe we're going to be able to do it big. Somebody
it's going to be big.
It's going to be big now. Yeah, but I'm not looking for a card note. I'm looking for them to do right by what they have, and I don't want them to try to take my truck away from me and say it's total over something that can easily be repaired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, we got off track.
I don't know.
Okay.
We start talking about the injury claims and how people get fraudulent claims and how they go down trying to make up lies about their injuries or, you know, they'll exaggerate.
No,
you know.
I'm not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. No, I thank God that I am A-okay.
It's not referenced about you,
right.
Lady Kim. It's referenced to people in the world who do those kind of things. And those injury lawyers, they'll start calling you once that claim goes through the process.
Right, right.
And they'll start reaching out to you. And so we praise God. What do you
Dr.
have?
Dr. Quali said, I'm a witness that God is giving away cars with no car note. I know that's right. I am too. Because our daughter,
right.
Tiara, got
Hallelujah.
A car without a car note.
That's right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So we just thank God for that. Amen.
That's right.
All right. So verses 8 through 13.
Okay.
Instructions for sacrificing grain offerings at the tabernacle.
This is the second chapter of Leviticus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And verses 1 through 7 again talked about the different types of grain offerings and how they were to be offered depending on how they were cooked. And now it's going to talk about instructions for how you sacrifice the grain offerings. So starting with verse number 8 in the second chapter of Leviticus, when you bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord, it shall be presented to the priest, and he shall bring it to the altar of burnt offering. The priest shall take from the grain offering its memorial portion and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is an offering by fire, a sweet and soothing aroma to the Lord. What is left of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is the most holy part of the offering to the Lord by fire. No grain offering that you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven which symbolizes the spread of sin, or any honey which, like leaven, is subject to fermentation in any offering by the fire to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you may offer them, leaven and honey, to the Lord, but they shall not go up in smoke on the altar as a sweet and soothing aroma. You shall season every grain offering with salt, so that the salt preservation of the covenant of your God will not be missing from your grain offering. You shall offer salt with all of your offerings. That was through 13.
Okay. That's interesting, because he gives very specific instructions here in terms of how to present, right? And how to preserve.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And when you were talking about the honey, I didn't know that I didn't know that honey would ferment like that to the place where it would not be a part of the original element of what it was designed to be. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
No honey. And no, the two things that shouldn't be in there, honey and something else. But you know what I did notice is oil was always in there. Olive oil was always in the mix.
It says, you shall, I think it's verse number 11.
With leaven.
Mm-hmm.
No leaven and no honey.
Mm-hmm.
Leaven makes it rise.
Right. Like you get your dough and everything.
Yes, and honey would make it ferment.
Okay.
So no leaven and no honey, because it represented sin.
Okay.
And so it couldn't be in there. But after the people had prepared the offering, they were to give it to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the priests were, at that time, were Aaron and his two sons.
That's right.
And the priest offered it to the Lord as a food offering, and the rest was kept by the priest. Now the grain offering could not contain the leaven or honey, and all the grain offerings were to be seasoned with salt before they were sacrificed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting...
It is a process in terms
of
presentation.
Right, and God made it very specific what he wanted.
That's right.
And I think when he makes it very specific for us, what he wants us to offer.
Absolutely.
And guess what he wants to offer? He wants us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice.
Okay.
Because now that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, we no longer have to do meat offering, burnt offering, purification offerings, first fruit offerings, grain offerings, fellowship offerings. We no longer have to do those types of offerings because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
That's right. That's good.
And so now that Jesus has become our ultimate sacrifice, the only sacrifice that God asks us to give is to give our lives.
That's right.
As a living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable unto him.
That's the least that we can do.
The least we can do.
Mm-hmm. That's our reasonable worship.
Yes.
Right? That's great. That's rich. All right. Well, you stopped at verse number 13.
So
and there are three more verses.
Yes.
Go ahead and read those, Lady Kim, and we can go ahead and look at what's going to happen this weekend and then see if they're in the praise reports. If you do have prayer requests or praise reports, go ahead and start putting those in comment box there. And then we have a couple of things going on at the church this weekend that we want to make sure that people are mindful of as well.
Amen. Leviticus, the second chapter, verse 14. If you bring a grain offering of early ripened things to the Lord, you shall bring fresh heads of grain roasted in the fire, crushed grain of new growth for the grain offering of your early ripened things. You shall put oil on it and lay incense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion part of the crushed grain and part of its oil with all its incense. It is an offering by fire to the Lord.
That's rich, isn't it?
Yep, and one of the things that I was reading about, and this transfers over to the church, that the priests were provided for through the offerings that the people brought to the tabernacle. And so those who serve or those who are employed in the temple service should get their share of the offering. And if we look at 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14, it talks about a little about that.
What is it?
First Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9, 13 and 14 says,
go ahead.
Do you not know that those who officiate in the sacred services of the temple eat from the temple offerings of meat and bread, and those who regularly attend the altar have their share from the offerings brought to the altar? So also, on the same principle, the Lord directed those who preach the gospel to get their living from the gospel.
Wow, wow. That's powerful.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that was more than enough to sustain those who were in service for the Lord.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And it was intentional, and it was set in motion by God himself to make sure that those provisions were available.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as the people
give that scripture again so those who want to reread that.
It's 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 13 and 14.
Okay.
And it's simply saying that those who provide leadership,
okay,
service, who pastor, who are in the temple, who provide service in the temple as you, that you should be taken care of for your services. You should be provided for, you know. And then guess what? If the provision is a lot, you should get a lot. If the provision is a little, you should get a little. But it should be in proportion to what is given by the people who bring the sacrifices.
Well, Reverend, you said a mouthful. I don't see no amens or nothing, like no thumbs up on that. But no, you said a mouthful, and it makes it clear in terms of the relevance of how God establishes order and protocol. And many times when we miss out on what God is yet trying to get us to see, we find ourselves going backwards instead of going forward. And we try, it's almost like with our purpose, we almost try to figure out where did we mess up or what is missing in the equation and why we are not receiving from God. Because the Bible is clear that it's obedience that brings the reward.
Amen.
And so when we do things according to how God has designed and set in motion, then it's going to be a seamless flow in terms of nobody being upset, nobody being angry, nobody trying to figure out what other people are receiving and getting. Everybody will be blessed as a result of us all being a blessing.
Amen. That's it. That's it. No, we're blessed to be a blessing.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Amen. And so now people will be able to point people to specific scripture.
Right, right.
On how they should care for their pastor or the one who provides service in the temple.
Okay. Okay. That's good. All right. Well, we're closing out this second chapter. What are the thing that we need to kind of take away, some takeaways or takeaway from this chapter that will kind of hold us until we go into the third chapter on next week?
That we have to understand the backdrop of significant concepts like sacrifice, offering, atonement, redemption, holiness, and priesthood. God wants our best.
God wants our best.
He wants our best.
Okay,
yes.
That's good. That's good. God wants our best. Present our best to God. Be obedient, and obedience will bring the reward.
Amen.
Yes, yes. All right, well, we're getting ready to wrap it up. We have a couple of prayer requests. I know that are fresh in terms of what we are aware of, but if there are other prayer requests that any of you might have, go ahead and submit those now. This is, Lady Kim, the eighth day of the fast.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and looked at it as you were reading a few minutes ago. And so we're moving right through.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to encourage those of you who are participating to continue to be focused in your fast and don't grow weary in well-doing. It's already obvious that God is trying to move us to a higher place in Him. And I believe that this fast is going to help trigger that, even in some of the things that you are desiring God to do in your life. He will give us the desires of our hearts. And I think once we have our spirits right and we're in tune with our flesh and we are exercising discipline in terms of, pulling back from doing certain things, that God will bless us in terms of our effort to please Him. And it's not about losing weight. You know, people always kind of get that tied up into the fast. Well, I'm going to lose weight. You know, that'll automatically be a byproduct of it if you commit your body and your mind and your spirit to a discipline of studying God's word and then surrendering yourself to what God would have for you to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So you have a couple of prayer requests there.
Just have one family unity for the Rankins family.
Okay.
And then we, of course, want to lift up Brother Charles Reynolds, who is in Baptist East, and also Sister Elnora Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Baptist DeSoto. I think she was to be released today. I have not talked to her. Sister Jones is asking for prayer for Corey for her room situation at school. So we want to lift up Corey and her room.
Okay.
Rooming.
And one of the residents at the Quince Nursing Home gave us a request. I didn't read it. I passed it on. But we want to lift her up in prayer as she made a request known on yesterday.
Okay. All right. If no other prayer request, all right. Yes, sir, I have Brother Reynolds. Thank you, Brother Charles Reynolds at Baptist East. Most certainly. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we are eternally grateful, for this is a day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. We thank you for watching over and protecting us on the dangerous highways, oh God. We thank you that we came out of an accident, oh God, with not a scratch or a scrape. And we thank you, Lord, that you were in the midst and you watched over and protected
us,
God.
Thank you, God.
God, we lift up Brother Charles Reynolds to you right now. Continue, oh God, to regulate his breathing right now,
God.
Continue to heal his body right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We call out Sister Elnora Buchanan to you, God. We ask that you would bring that blood sugar under control right now, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
God, we pray for the Rankins family, for family unity tonight, and for unity in families all over this country, God. And within our church family, we're asking for unity in the community, God.
Hallelujah.
God, we pray for Corey Jones, oh God, in her rooming situation. I speak to that rooming situation right now, God, in the name of Jesus. That it was fixed, that it'll be better than she ever thought, oh God. So we thank you that you're elevating her, that that room and situation is just confusing right now, only so that you can give her greater, oh God. So we thank you today, God. Mm-hmm. God, we pray for the residents at Quince Nursing Home. God, you know the lady who lifted up the request tonight. God, we ask that you will work on her behalf, but mm-hmm. not only on her behalf, but on the behalf of all others in that place. And we thank you, God, for allowing us to go and consistently minister there to your people. We ask, God, that you would continue to watch over and keep our families, God, as they travel the dangerous highways, oh God. We pray for those who are out in the cold, oh God, who have nowhere to go. We ask, oh God, that they find the warming centers, oh God. Spare lives, oh God, that people do not die from the cold weather tonight, God.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, God, for all the places that are open as warming centers, oh God. And we love you. And God, we ask that you would provide for those who are experiencing food insecurity today, God. Provide meals, oh God, as only you can. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless ATOP to be a blessing to others. We thank you, oh God, that you have allowed us purpose and praise and that you're protecting us, God, from all hurt, harm, and danger. We love you and we bless you. We thank you for our pastor. Continue to lead and guide him by your Holy Spirit and give him the strength that he needs to continue to run on to see what the end will be. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God.
Amen. We prayed, but we didn't mention the activities for this weekend.
No, we didn't. You recall what they are?
Yes, well, I know one. There is a the Christian Church Disciples of Christ is hosting a youth leaders training.
Right.
And it will be held at ATOP this Saturday. From 9:30 to 2, I believe it is, and you can
register online.
It's $40. The first one will be on this coming Saturday, January the 20th. Then there will be a part two of that session on Saturday, February 17th, also at ATOP. And the $40 is for both sessions.
Okay.
And so
materials and
the materials and a lunch will be provided.
Okay.
So if you're interested in youth ministry, all of our youth advisors, we're looking forward to seeing you on this coming Saturday. If you have not registered, please register.
Okay. And then the town hall meeting.
Town hall meeting also.
It's sponsored by Commissioner Sugarman, and I think it's on our website. You can go to the anointedtempleofpraise.org and see all of the information as relates to as relates to the town hall meeting. This is basically, we're providing space for them and making sure that we are accessible to understanding the business dynamics of what's happening in the life of throughout the city and how we can benefit from those things that are being offered. I was trying to pull it up here.
Sister Theron says she'll post information soon. I didn't have it. It's the Business Synergy Workshop.
That's right.
The Business Synergy Workshop that will be held, here it is, at Anointed Temple of Praise. It begins at 10 o'clock a.m., we'll be able to access the building at 9:30 a.m.
Okay.
So we just thank those, and I believe it's free.
Yes,
I believe
it is.
It's free.
And
so
there it is there.
Yes. If you would like to come, I think you could connect there through that link and see what it's all about.
Yes.
So, again, we thank you all for your support. And then we hope to see you on Sunday.
That's
for
right.
Sunday school at 8:30. We have Sunday school for all ages. And then our regular service at 9:45. So thank you all so much for joining in Bible study on tonight. We love you guys. May God continue to bless you and keep you, watch over, and protect you. Amen. Good night, everybody.
All right. Be blessed.